Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stan Deo. And hi, Stan, how you doing?
Fine, Doctor. Good to talk with you.
Well, I appreciate you being with us. And for our listeners who don't know who you are, why don't you give just a little of your background, and then we'll get into some of the fascinating information that you have to share with us tonight.
All right. I guess probably the most pertinent information, if you're from Texas, this would be is I was born in Texas, so I'm a native Texan, and that's a big brag. But other than that, and seriously, in Texas, I was recruited into a special program that was not just American. It was a multinational program headed up in our country by Dr. Edward Teller, and in Russia by Dr. Andrei Sakharov, and various persons of equal rank in their own countries, in West Germany, in Canada, and a number of other countries, including Australia. And this project that I was recruited into was because of work that I had done privately that they found out about, where I was about to file for a patent for a novel way to make a circular kind of disc-shaped aircraft that would, its performance would exceed everything we had in the arsenal of any country in the world. It would travel very fast, in fact, so fast that something would have to be devised to handle the change of direction at those speeds.
Well, now, how were you able to develop such an aircraft? What was your background from physics or aeronautics?
Well, I was a mathematics whiz in high school, and in physics and chemistry and calculus. I got an appointment to the Air Force Academy prep school and to the Air Force Academy itself here in Colorado. It was a congressional appointment by Congressman Bruce Alger of Texas. And at the academy, I excelled in the mathematics. And I left the academy before graduation because we had a great falling out. I was among about 160 to 180 other cadets who were elected honor code representatives. And we were complaining about the regular Air Force dismissing some of our fellow cadets on trumped-up charges, because they didn't like black people in the academy at the time, and they didn't like people that were too short or of foreign descent, like second-generation Germans or things like that. Anyway, we tried to protest and were quickly dismissed from the academy for trying to stop this unfair dismissal of our fellow cadets. And it was sealed, and no one has one senator has ever found out about it, and he died of cancer before he could finish opening up the investigation, and now it's just too late and we'll do too much damage to make it public, all the details of it. But I left and went back to Dallas, and I was put into IBM to learn to program computers, and not these desktop things, but the real deal, the big computers, and became an expert in that and was able to use my programming skills there in my private time to research what my dad and I had talked about many years before, and trying to figure out how the alleged UFO flying saucers might work. And in the process, I did figure out a very clever thing, simply by watching smoke rings being blown across the room by a fellow with a cigar. And it was, and still is, one of the secrets of what makes the universe tick, other than will of God.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
All right.
All right, Stan, go right ahead.
Okay. The experiments that I did, I've written about in two books, The Cosmic Conspiracy and The Vindicator Scrolls. And I've put a lot of the information on the website from time to time, and certainly a lot of public lectures and one or two videos that are showing on the Internet that people made of lectures I gave on the subject. I'm trying to teach people to prepare them for what is about to be revealed from our own private development, like the governments of the world, and from another source that I mentioned in the 2010 final edition of The Cosmic Conspiracy that I'm releasing in about 3 weeks.
Now, this is your book, isn't that what came out in the 70s or 80s?
It was in 78, first published then, and it was self-published because the publishers found it too difficult. They burned out three ghostwriters for me at one publisher down there in Melbourne. So I took the rights to my book back and rewrote it. And the churches there in Australia, the some of the Churches of Christ are slightly different way they do it there than they do here, Churches of Christ, but basically the same. They were spirit-filled churches, and the a number of the other churches all got together and had me lecture the churches on weekends when I was working. In 1 year alone, I visited 109 churches and gave lectures there across the country about the technology and about what's about to happen. And then one of the churches in Brisbane, where a guy named George Spall was an elder there, he rang me and said, "Look, why don't you take your book, you know, why don't you finish what you've written and publish it?" And I said, "Well, I don't have enough money to do that." Well, his church loaned me the money to print the book, the first 5,000 copies, and they were gone within 3 weeks. And so I reprinted again and again and again, 17 times and in three languages after that, in 22 countries across the planet. So it was by word of mouth and self-publishing that that book was written, printed, and distributed. So I can't take all the credit for it, but certainly I did write it, and I wrote what I felt the Lord led me to write about my history leading up to the conspiracy and the plans that are being fulfilled right now as we sit here to make a new world order, a satanic order, and then what the promise of the Bible is so that we can be saved out of that and have eternal life. And so those are the three sections of the book. And I've added three appendices in subsequent editions of it, in 92, 98, and now 2010.
All right, hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Stan Deo is telling us about his book, that The Cosmic Conspiracy, was published back in the late 1970s and had a number of editions. It translated into a number of different languages. The book is available on the Internet, but it's ridiculously expensive. I decided not to buy a book, to wait until it's going to be coming out here in about 3 weeks. And basically, of course, this book goes into the background of Stan's work and also begins talking about the spiritual elements of what's going on today and the very real satanic conspiracy that we face. Would that be a fair appraisal, Stan?
It would be. And certainly, I just wanted to add that you talk about the high price of the book on the Internet. That's not me doing it. It's been out of print for 4 years.
Oh, I know. I know that's not you. I'm not suggesting it's you. I'm just suggesting that it's... Well, what are they getting for a copy of that on the Internet?
Well, some as low as $60. Most of them are up around $125 to $250 a copy, secondhand.
Right.
So, but I guess they'll do that if they like it as a product anyway, no matter what it is, whether it's a book or whatever. But I was moved earlier this year to answer a question that one of our visitors past our website wrote. It was a woman. She wanted to know more about something in the book of Daniel about in Daniel's second chapter, where it talks about the toes of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, the toes of iron and clay. It would not mix with the seed of man, etc. And she was saying, "Can you explain that?" And although I knew basically what I thought about it, I thought, "Well, look, I'll get out my Hebrew books and I'll refresh my mind on this." And it took me about 2.5 months to retranslate 8 verses in the second chapter and in the 11th chapter to answer the woman's question. And the more I got into it, the more I realized the good Lord must have been behind asking that woman to ask me that, because I found things that I did not expect, and words and verses became, I guess, unsealed, at least in my eyes, in the book of Daniel, just like the Lord said to Daniel, seal up, the words of this book are sealed up until the time of the end. So maybe what I have found here is a partial unsealing of some of the coded messages in the book of Daniel that the Lord had him put there.
Well, of course, this is one of the great prophecies of the Scriptures, the prophecy that Daniel had. The king asked him, you know, what does my dream mean? And of course, all of his people said, well, tell us what you dreamed. And the king said, I'm not going to tell you what I dreamed. You tell me what I dreamed and the meaning of it. The only person who could interpret that was Daniel. And of course, he found favor with the king after that by explaining to him what the future held. But go right ahead with the story, Stan.
Well, I'd also like to compliment what you're saying there with the fact that Jesus, who was obviously Jewish and raised Jewish, pointed to Daniel as Daniel the prophet. He said, as Daniel the prophet said. And if you know the rabbinical position and in those days the priest position on Daniel, they considered him not an orthodox or not a mainstream prophet. He wasn't a major prophet, so they didn't put him in the collection of prophets, which was called the Nevi'im, because he had never talked to God direct. But Daniel knew different, because he talked to the pre-incarnate God standing over the river, the Tigris, not touching the water, but standing over and talking to Daniel, as he records in the 12th chapter. Or 10 through the 12th chapter. And so I feel that we use Daniel so much to help interpret what was given to John in the Revelation, that when Jesus elevated Daniel to major prophet status, calling him the prophet, he told us, watch Daniel. You know, Daniel is important. And I think a lot more study could be done right now in the book of Daniel to help us in knowing what fine detail of the revelation of John is. But anyway, I'm hoping that my book and the rather pitiful attempt I've made at explaining these eight verses, the importance of them, will encourage people who have more experience in Hebrew and Arabic and Chaldean and Aramaic, which you kind of have to delve in to do this, will go and do what I could not do and finish the rest of the verses that need to be brought out and decoded. But it is a marvelous work in spite of the different translations that have occurred and the addition of vowels that weren't there to words by various translators. And you know,
how does this all fit into what's going on today? Because certainly we seem to be entering a very difficult time here in the history of our nation, indeed in the history of the world. So where does this ancient prophecy fit in today, or does it fit in today? Is this something that may happen sometime in the future?
It fits in today and in the immediate future for the next probably 10 to 15, 16, 17 years, depending upon how you count dating in from the book of Daniel. But from what I could see, the prophecies are mainly for, the hidden prophecies anyway, are for what happens during the tribulation period and at the beginning of it, probably 3 years before it starts, and into the middle of it and to the end. The thing that I have found, I'll go ahead and say this. I know that when I said it first on Joyce Riley's program here a couple weeks back, her switchboard just kind of lit up with people, that Christian people that were for what I was saying, Christian people that were against what I was saying. So I'm going to tell you now, there's going to be a little bit of controversy over this, but here's what I found in the writing direct. And I've put it in my book in the Hebrew form, and right underneath that, how I translated it, what words, mean what, and so that there's no guesswork about it, no channeling or that kind of junk. This is real, hard academic work. And here's what I found. We are going to go into a world government, and we are going to have a world dictator. But he, like it says in the book of Daniel, he will set himself above God, the God of gods, above every other god, and it says above the desire of women. And what people have mainly misunderstood about that is the desire of women in the time of Daniel and before and after in the Jewish community, the desire of the women of Israel was to be the mother of the Messiah, Son of God, right? And so in that phrase, you have, he'll put himself above the God of God, not the, the desire of woman, but the Son of God and every other God. So in other words, when you translate that alone, it tells you that this guy is going to put himself, he's so arrogant, he's like Satan, he's going to put himself above all things that are called God by every nation, every religion in the world. And he is going to make a deal with this alien or this fallen one, Satan. And it says that this fallen one, this stranger, this alien from the heavens who is immortal, will pretend to be a god. It doesn't say he will be a god, it says he'll pretend, he will feign to be a god. And when I read that part of it, or translated that part, I nearly fell off my chair, because this is what we're looking at. For years, for half a century or more, we've been getting UFO reports and alien abduction reports. Bad aliens, right? Now that we're starting to see TV and movies move us toward the V concept, where you have some aliens are good, some are bad. Satan reads the Bible. Satan knows what we're going to find and what we have found about his coming. And we're expecting the bad guy, Satan, to come first. Superpowers, back a guy that's going to be the world leader, and eventually inhabit him. And then after that, the Messiah, the good guy, is going to come and set everything right. So Satan is going to make a fake bunch of alien critters do destructive damage, etc., to mankind, frighten mankind, which he's already done. And then he, like looking like human, maybe slightly taller, and his followers from the heavens, will come in as the good guys and appear to fulfill prophecy to those who aren't wise to it.
All right. Now, do you believe then that these are alien beings from another dimension, another planet from outer space, or are these alien beings from a different or spiritual dimension here on Earth?
I don't believe they're from another planet. I believe they are from a spiritual dimension, if you want to call it that, which is the layers or levels of existence. There are at least three or four levels in the Jewish mysticism, seven levels of concentric universes or concentric existences, and God lives in the highest one, and then there's a hierarchy of these concentric universes or parallel universes right around us. And I think that Satan and his followers were up wherever they were at level six or whatever, or level five, next to God. And, of course, Satan was up there as the covering cherub, as Lucifer. But all of them have been cast down through those levels, and we call them spiritual because we can't physically touch them. We don't even see them unless we see like a ghostly image, with the exception of those who come through the levels, to Ezekiel and to Elijah and to Moses, and appear as solid things that do physical things on the earth, like those that sat with Abraham and ate with him before they went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
In other words, basically, you think that these beings can materialize and then dematerialize?
I do. And I think there's a rule, or God has set a limit to what they can do until they're turned loose here. I think in the Revelation, where it's speaking of a pit being opened up and things, I think we're going to see a lot of demonic beings come from the lower level, and not just physically the lower level, but the lower energy density level, or the lower, like hell, almost, underneath us. But it would pass through you like a ghost right now if they were released. But when they release, I think they're going to be solid in our world, just as solid as the pre-incarnate Jesus was, and as God was to Moses and to Noah when he warned him, about the coming destruction.
Well, you're one of the few people I've run into who actually verbalizes this. I believe, of course, that certainly we've seen, if we believe in the scriptures, we have to believe that God could materialize and dematerialize. Jesus actually did this on several occasions. And I believe these other beings can do it as well. So although to people who do not believe that there is a spiritual dimension to life, we find it difficult to believe. I don't find it difficult to believe at all. We'll be back in just a moment with Stan Deo right here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Stan.
Well, Doctor, I think you probably agree with me that if you had discovered what these eight verses meant, that knowing how rapidly things in the world are pushing us to the cliff, the lemmings fall over, you know, the nuclear war threat, overpopulation, global climate catastrophes, asteroid impact, world economy collapsing, massive pandemics of diseases, the Middle East, threat of nuclear war, killer earthquakes, storms. All these things are pushing to the rapidity that all this is coming to a head, and the horrible, horrible loss of spiritual sense, you know, of good guys, you know, of people who follow the word of the Lord. This moral decay planet-wide, and at the top, it's really bad, you know, the top of our government. We know, and you would know, that if you found this thing in the verses that said, look, there's going to be a fake, quote-unquote, alien invasion, bad guys and good guys, and Satan will be in charge of it, but you need to tell everybody about it. You would know that if you didn't get it out before that happened, that it would be just looked at as sour grapes or something, and people wouldn't pay attention to it. So it had to get out before that, and so that's why I, having done that, have made the translations, have said, look, I'm in a rush. I feel a rush to get this out this year, early this year, before things start to happen that would defuse the warning or even stop our ability to talk about it in the radio or printed word or whatever. Don't you think so?
Oh, I think so as well. I think that we're moving into a very real crisis situation. I don't know how soon it's coming, but I have this. I've been at this for 47, going on 48 years, and I've never felt as close to the climax of this whole world. I call it a conspiracy. It doesn't matter what you call it,
yep.
But I believe we are seeing the fulfillment of these ancient prophecies. There is a spiritual element to everything going on today, both good and bad. But go right ahead.
Well, no, I'm glad to hear you say that. Another thing that's kind of crossed my mind is this great deception that's going to come upon the earth. Now, a lot of people have had different opinions what that might be, but looking at what I'm looking at here with this alien God, quote-unquote little God presence, I'm wondering if the great deception that would be possible to deceive the very elect, if they were here, or if it were possible. That great deception might be this whole alien savior business. You know, I mean, the occult bookstores, followers of the White Brother and all that kind of nonsense, they are waiting for our quote-unquote elder brothers from space to come save us. And many people who claim to be Christian, but have not really grounded themselves or been taught in the Word to watch out for these things, may well be deceived into thinking the Messiah has arrived, and it will be Lucifer. I mean, I don't think he's going to come with horns and a pitchfork and say, I'm the bad guy. I think he's going to come in subtly. He's going to come in a manner that will fool many people into thinking that he knows how to save Earth and the people and bring peace and all that kind of stuff. And they're going to say, hey, who could be like him? This is the Messiah. That's my fear, that great deception is going to be that, because that is a big deception coming.
Well, I have a friend of mine who says, you know, Lucifer doesn't really wear red tights at all. As you say, he doesn't have a horn, he doesn't have a tail, but he looks just like a world leader. And, of course, the question is, when will he appear and who will he be? And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Stan Deo is talking about a great deception which is going to come on the earth, and we're going to be, I believe, in a situation where we're going to be moving into chaotic times and out of this period of chaos and crisis. Will come a world leader, and people are going to be looking for anything at all to put an end to the chaos that we're witnessing here in California, where we're beginning to release the criminal element because there's no room for them in the jails. We can't finance it. This is just the very first in a series of steps that is going to lead to total fiscal and economic chaos and exacerbation of crime. And I think out of what's happening, why suddenly people begin to looking for a leader. Stan Deo believes that there is going to be an answer. It's going to be a false Messiah. But how soon do you see this coming, Stan?
Well, I can't date that because I don't think anybody can accurately translate enough of the old words to do so. And I can know the season, like the scripture says. And like you, I feel, after 50 years of fighting the Illuminati, I feel that the moment is almost upon us, like even this year. I feel so strongly that things are just coming to a head. So, in my opinion, with the president we've got here in the United States and the obvious bad behavior he's exhibiting in a number of fronts, that we are about to move into a period where the United States will be taken down. I've often wondered if we're not one of the Babylons mentioned in the Revelation of John that will be destroyed in 1 hour, because we are so bad, and yet we control so many countries by treaty and whatever, and we have done so for so long that I think God's going to really be cross with America and destroy it. So,
well, how do you think this is going to happen? Is it going to happen economically? Is it going to happen as a part of some sort of a major plague? Is it going to happen as some sort of a major war? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there are several scenarios. It does say that if America is that one of the Babylon spoken of, it will be destroyed by fire. In 1 hour it'll be destroyed. And it says, and the merchants of the world will throw ash on their head. Well, the merchants of the world do shipping through Great Britain and the United States. The majority of merchant marines are through Lloyd's and through the City of London, the commercial City of London. So I think that certainly America and Great Britain do fit the bill for this Babylon. Now, you and I both know that our economy in the United States is in real trouble, and we are so tightly integrated to the rest of the world economies that when America goes down, the rest of the world will be in chaos. Now, our current administration seem to be doing everything they can to accelerate our economic demise, and this means that the man in the street, his wallet's getting thin. I mean, I know mine is. And there are a lot of people that just don't have a wallet anymore. Nevertheless, any money or food, whatever, they're being broke right now. And at some point, I feel that there's going to be a civil uprising, civil disobedience between the people that have been compromised by the failure of the U.S. economy, and also between religious factions, and between left-wing and right-wing, and between the haves and the have-nots, and between different nationalities, the illegal population in the country against the regular Americans that want to hold on to their turf. We've got so many fronts of a civil war that I think America will just suddenly break out in open warfare in gangs and tribes across the United States, and this will require the administration of martial law, which will maybe calm some of it, but not enough of it. And while we're having internal problems, the world economy is doing a nosedive. I think that we will see foreign troops from either China, Russia, or even some that have been brought over from the Middle East come into the United States and destroy a lot of cities and people, and probably then be forced to leave because of the aftermath of nuclear and biochem warfare. That's what I see for the United States. And of course, when the United States goes down, the world economy that depended on what we used to buy and consume, which we do an inordinate amount of compared to the rest of the world, the merchants will woe the day, and the world will have to cry out at that point, help us, find somebody to help our economy.
Well, but of course the Bible talks about, the last Babylon, mother of harlots, but that's destroyed in one day.
Well,
would that be New York that they'd be talking about?
Or in 1 hour. In 1 hour that destruction has come. I also have reserved a spot in the Babylon nomenclature for the Roman Catholic Church.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. Well, Stan, go right ahead. You were saying that you felt that the Catholic Church was somehow going to be involved in this?
Yes, and I bring that from the Book of Daniel, the translations I've been doing. Because remember that statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream? Different parts from the top down to the toes were made of different metals, and in the bottom is metal and, like iron and clay. But they signified major world or empires, right? And the two legs of iron in that thing were Rome. And they were iron, strong like iron, you know, like Rome broke countries and peoples. Now, there were two legs to that, the East and Western Roman Empire. Now, the feet continued as part of iron from the legs. They didn't become a different metal. So Rome became morphed into feet of iron and then some clay mixed in. And there are three levels of interpreting what Daniel was writing there, because he repeats things three times in parts of it. And the Roman Empire did not die. It just went underground. People thought it died, but it hid its whole infrastructure in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Roman Curiae, the court of Rome, and it became the eastern western legs of the Holy Catholic Roman Catholic Church. And they put their bishops, archbishops, and even the popes did some of the traveling, but they put them all through the known world advising royal families and, loaning assets or making warfare between various places to consolidate their rule over the nations of the world. The deities, the ten deities, the deity concept, is being put in the New World Order model by the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome has, I've got a map in my book showing the ten regions they've divided the entire world into, the deities. So, the Catholic Church has a lot to answer for, because it's not really God's church. There are a lot of believers, Christian believers, in the Catholic Church, but the hierarchy of it at the Vatican is not what we think it is. It is a political organization that is the rebirth of Rome, or the resurgence of Rome rather than the rebirth, because it never died. And I think this is part of the mystery of the prophecy talking about the empires that were, how many were and one was and is not and yet will be again.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Stan Dale seems to believe that the Roman Catholic Church is more or less a continuation of the power structure of the ancient Roman Empire. And certainly they do have a great deal of power in nations throughout the world, and a lot of good people are Catholics. They believe in Christianity, but at the very top at the Vatican, there is a power structure that is a political power structure intent upon controlling rather than consoling, certainly on being part of a political structure rather than a ecclesiastic structure. So go ahead, pick up your story there.
Well, Dr. Monty, do you think I'm being too far out of the truth?
Oh, I want to hear what you have to say. We can always hear what I have to say. I mean, I believe we have problems in all branches of the church. I believe we have very real branches of trouble with the Vatican. I think, though, that the Protestant church has been infiltrated. I think the Jewish church has been infiltrated. But certainly the Catholic Church is a very well-organized hierarchy. And certainly if you read the material put forward by Malachi Martin, he talks about the satanic influence, the satanic ceremonies in the Vatican itself. So go right ahead.
Yeah, I talked with Malachi a couple times, and before he died, but so many things he said were, I believe, true. I'm just in my spirit. He was such a good man, it seemed to me. But anyway, I don't know whether you're following this or not, but since about 1977, there's been a Congress being held down in Melbourne for getting Islam, Roman Catholicism, Hindu, various other religions to come together to form a common dialogue, they call it, for faith.
Well, because it's a very, very definite effort to create a one world religion, and certainly the United Parliaments of the World, I forgot what the name of it is, there are a number of organizations, but they have a common goal, a one world religion. And, of course, I think that has been the plan going back thousands of years, but with that is the destruction of Christianity. So go right ahead.
Right. The anyway, I did want to bring that up because that group. I've looked at their website. I don't know that I put it in the book, but I did investigate the website about the attempts to form this one world religion, and it's just so widespread now that in such a big meeting that I'm afraid that it's coming now. You asked me earlier about how soon I thought it would happen. These signs are like a pregnant woman. They're like the, what do you call it, the Braxton Hicks contractions, the small contractions getting ready for the big one. You know, we're right at the time of delivery of the bad part of prophecy. But with the growth of the various threats being given to us, the exaggeration of certain threats like global warming, that was a non-event, and still is a non-event in my mind, for what is coming is going to be from the sun itself, not from us. It will be a judgment that the Lord has allowed to happen, and it will burn a third part of the trees and the grass and that kind of stuff. But it's going to be the sun, not man's efforts. But we've been led to believe that a new world order controlling man's resources and use of the resources would prevent the global climate catastrophe of the global warming type or the new ice age, whichever side of the fence you're on. But we're just being led to think things are worse than they are right now to get us into a world government. And a lot of people involved in this movement, I think at the lower levels, are completely convinced that the leaders at the top will be truthful, will be right, in their decision making, and everything will be rosy if we just have this one world government. I just see the conditioning all around me in the media like never before. This TV series V that's coming now, then, the guy that wrote this, I think it's Kenneth Johnson, he wrote the books, the series of it, really brought biblical prophecy of the end times into his script. Aliens that are really serpents, you know, or lizards, come with skin put over their outside to look like humans and friendly. They come, you know, like messengers of hope and light and power, and yet underneath they're really evil and trying to destroy mankind. In fact, part of what I translated, it shows that these beings coming with Satan at this time are going to look at us like fodder almost. We are fragile clay vessels that house our soul, that they're going to break with a rod of iron. I mean, Daniel makes that clear in three verses, just really hammers the point. They're going to have nations of iron or regions of iron that the aliens or the fallen ones with Satan will control, and they will control the humans in it and the whole property, and you won't be allowed in or out except by their permission. And that's regions of this 10-region world is coming. And I don't know how many of the toes in Daniel's statue were clay and how many were iron. It just says they were mixed. So there might be only three or two alien nations that the Antichrist gives to Satan for his own property. But it does say that the Antichrist will be, or the human host Antichrist, will be giving Satan all kinds of valuable jewels and things and lands and people for his own in return for the power technology to control the world. And Satan's going to hide. He'll hide in fortresses that are inaccessible to humans, whether they're underwater, in solid rock, in space, I don't know. But it says he will hide in places where you can't access him no matter what you do. We don't have the technology to get to him. But this is the kind of stuff that I'm digging out of there, Doctor, and it just, you know, my wife, poor thing, I'll nudge her and say, hey, Listen to this. she says I get pretty wide-eyed when I find this stuff, but it's just so exciting to find a warning for us that is meaningful in what's about to happen. So, anyway, I guess I get on my soapbox and get carried away. But It's an important time. It is an urgently important time for people to look at their options and accept the gift of salvation if they want it. And this is just, you know, another thing that needs to be laid out for people. If they don't make that act of committing to the Lord and turning themselves over to Him, then when the tribulation really starts, they're going to have to endure a lot more hardship than they would have ordinarily. In fact, I'm a favorite of the rapture theory, and I don't want to push that down people's throats, but that's, I feel that there are going to be people who will be taken to safety, wherever it is, Christian believers, just as the tribulation starts, and that's when the Antichrist becomes known to the people of earth by his actions. So, anyway, I'm not going to get on my bandwagon about who's right about rapture or not rapture, rapture pre or mid, but there is going to be a point in time, I think, where the church is, will be the people that are left on the earth that are new believers or believers that have suddenly become spirit-filled and spirit-protected, I think, too, by the Holy Spirit.
Well, I think whatever, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or like myself, a pan-trib, why, the important thing is to have a personal relationship with our Lord.
Absolutely.
So I certainly will not try to get people to believe what I believe, but this is not as important as your relationship with the Lord. So go right ahead, Stan.
We agree, you and I, just down the line. I hate to see the church fighting over these issues that are not easily proved one way or the other. I mean, everybody thinks they have a solid position, but in the Cosmic Conspiracy on page 127, in every edition of it, is a place for them to turn their life over and to the Lord to be saved and to sign their name on that page 127. It's always been there, and in every edition I put it there for people to realize that's the most important thing. It's not whether it's a rapture, whether you're, you know, taken off, or whether you have to endure these things. Plan for the worst. Prepare to go through the tribulation, but pray that you don't have to.
Well, I think that was the Walter Martin's famous statement. I always loved it because Walter Martin was a great theologian, Bible answer man, he said, you know, I've studied the scriptures for many years. I can't find anything in the scriptures that convinced me there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, but I pray I'm wrong. So I like to sort of agree with that statement because I'm certainly not a theologian, and I certainly don't have the ability to read the Hebrew or the Aramaic or Chaldean. So I have to rely upon those of you who are more schooled in that than I. My job is to be behind a microphone and give people such as yourself a voice. So pick the story up that you think that something very large, very major, is imminent. It could happen this year, could happen next year, could happen in 2012. We really don't know. It could be much later than that, but these are important and difficult times. Certainly we'll all agree on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a lot of my work has been on the physics and engineering side. I have a small company in addition to our publishing company, and it's called Halo Orbital Technologies, and it deals with the release of technology that I've been actually building and testing here to make a flying saucer. But the importance of it is that when I'm trying to teach people, especially engineers and physicists, and I've argued with some of the leading physicists in the universities because they have no idea what we have in the back room, but or the group that I used to work for has in the back room. And I've seen one professor in the university, the head of theoretical physics, throw his chalk at me across the room and splatter it on the chalkboard, and I was trying to explain to him how we can have anti-gravity and how it can support a ship a mile or two wide. It doesn't matter. And, of course, this is important because people think that when they see these things that come over a city as a great shadow a mile wide or something, they're going to say, that definitely can't be Earth-made, or it can't be anything but super technology and super metals and stuff from somewhere else, because everybody knows that you have a limit to the length of a bar of iron that you put in your spacecraft or aircraft, and it can't support over so many hundred feet. It'll deflect, it'll bend, and it can't support. And I've told them, I said, look, if you take a hot air balloon and fill it with hot air, it rises up, the guy can use a very minimal amount of energy and gas to keep that air hot for a long time and can hover his ship in one spot above the ground for longer than you can do it with a rocket or anything else that has to continuously thrust. So I teach them that if you have, say, a 30-foot diameter craft that uses the smoke ring principle of recirculating air, or in the case of gravity, recirculating the gravitic field, that little 30-foot diameter craft can be made of aluminum, iron, a variety of metals and alloys, and it will support its own weight. 30-foot span is nothing, especially if it's only 15-foot. Now, if one of those craft, using this electrogravitic field to support itself, it's like a hot air balloon. It stores the energy in a field recirculating inside the coils of the craft. So it'll stay there until the energy dissipates, and you only have to top it off with a little bit of, in this case, electrical energy rather than hot air.
Well, have these ever been actually built, though? That's the question.
Oh, yes, sir. What I didn't explain about the group that recruited me to work on the project is that they recruited me in 1971, in September, and took me to Australia to work there. But they, before 1971, had already tested the aerodynamic form, which I was working on in 1971 without knowledge that they existed. And then that's like turbine or fan-driven saucer craft. And then the plasma or heated electrically conductive air saucer craft. And then finally to anti-gravity. They had it before they even recruited me. And I wasn't working on anti-gravity. I have since, but I wasn't when they recruited me. And I'm going to release a paper, the second part of it here on my website. It's going to be called the Gemstone Scrolls Part 2. I've just released Part 1. Part 2, I'm writing it now, and giving illustrations and experiments that people can reproduce themselves with a car battery, some wire, a little laser pointer, you know, that you do at lectures, and a little piece of reflective material, say, off of a mirror or off of a CD that you break, to show how electricity from a battery can interact with gravity and how it does it differently in the northern hemisphere than it does in the southern hemisphere. And this is going to open up a lot of young minds, and older minds too, if they're flexible, into the understanding of how gravity really works. There's local gravity to the atoms, atomic gravity, and then there's mass gravity to spinning masses like a planet or a star or whatever, or a galaxy. There are different levels of gravity. And gravity is not a one-way force. I'm going to explain that. It's going to be the sum of two forces, one from your spin throwing energy out into the medium of space, and that energy being reflected back, and it's the sum of those two. And I explain that with diagrams in the Cosmic Conspiracy way early in the game so people can understand it's the sum of divergent waves from a gravity center like a planet and convergent waves being reflected back from space. Anyway.
Well, basically, whatever happened to these vehicles, are they in military storehouses, or who has them at the present time?
At this point, I don't know, because in the late 70s, I was told before I left the organization that they had been compromised, and that they said they are moving in on us, and we can't stop them. And at the time, I wasn't sure whether talking about an Earth-based European Union and Russia or whatever, or whether it was the aliens, which, you know, I had limited exposure to inside the organization. But anyway, after I got out, one of the security guards that was working at a number of the test sites for the saucers and I met. And we met in a place that was magnetically secure and like a protected from an EMP attack, so that we couldn't be bugged, because it would mean his instant death if they found out what he told me. And he explained that we had had takeover by aliens in a number of our underground bases that we'd stored these craft in the late 70s, and that we had lost control of the infrastructure we had built trying to fool these aliens long enough that we could out-technology them and protect the Earth from them.
Now, when you're speaking of the aliens, you're really speaking about these demonic beings.
Absolutely.
Spiritual hierarchy, Great White Brotherhood, call them what you will. Are these elements from the other dimension?
Yes. I think they've come here and are preparing to make war with God, with Jesus when he returns, and that they're building up infrastructure which they had us build to help them have an industrial base to manufacture the weapons they need.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two. Stan, let's get your website out. How can people get to your website?
Just type in Standeo, S-T-A-N-D-E-Y-O.
Standeo.com. I've been there. Fascinating website.
Thank you, sir. My wife gets up every morning at about 4:30 to keep it updated.
Okay, fine. Well, you've got very, very colorful and beautiful things there, and I'm looking forward to seeing the book when it comes out. Well, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program tonight.
Well, I think the most important thing we've mentioned, both you and I have, is that the important thing for people today, whether you Christian or not, is to be sure that your relationship with our Lord is solid and put your trust and faith there. Prepare to have to endure the tribulation of the coming 7 to 10 years that we're facing now for shortages of commodities and money and various other things. Get rid of your debt as best you can. Store food and provisions. In fact, preparing for the worst, praying for the best, like a rapture out of here before we have to endure all that. But when you prepare, if you need help doing that, Holly has got a whole huge website which you can get to from our main website, and it's called Preparedness. And if you go to there, there's all kinds of stuff you can download and read about how to prepare your family bit by bit with provisions that you need, the physical types of provisions, and the spiritual as well. So I think that's my three-minute wrap there.
What are you doing now? Are you simply retired from physics, from doing your analysis of these anti-gravity structures?
No. I have to work like everyone else. Holly and I run this business and sell our books. That's our only income. We don't have any 401ks or things like that. And we have a mortgage like everybody else. But I'm sitting here looking at about a 21-inch diameter flying saucer that is an aircraft powered by a quarter horsepower electric turbine, and that's our latest test. We're going to the Mark II of it later this year, if the Lord permits. But no, I haven't given up my physics. I'm doing a lot, and I'm trying to release basic information for young minds to use and understand on the internet, so that they can do their own testing. In fact, I've got people all over the world who have been testing what we call the Navigator's anti-gravity coils that I showed on the video, with mixed results. But this is what I'm happy to see, is that they're understanding and building and testing and going on with the physics, so they understand when the imposters come where their weak points are and how they're working. They're not magic. They are just simply technology.
Well, obviously, the imposters do have the technology. I mean, they have these structures. They call them flying saucers. I believe they're demonic manifestations, as you obviously do. Stan, it's been a fascinating time. I hope we can chat again sometime real soon.
All right, Doctor. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Good night. God bless. And our guest has been Stan Deo. I hope you've enjoyed the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Fascinating conversation. First time I've talked to Stan Deo. He certainly says things that I agree basically with. We are involved in a spiritual battle, and the most important thing is your personal relationship with our Lord. Well, we hope that many of you out there will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it through, understand the background of what's going on. And I hope it will actually encourage you to try to develop a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do have a series of DVDs called The Final Countdown with Billy Crone. My interviews with Billy as we explore the prophetic things that are coming to pass today. These things could not come to pass by accident. There are 10 DVDs. You can get part 1, part 2, or get them both together. We have them on CD, at least the first 5, called the Countdown to Armageddon. The DVDs, The Final Countdown, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have another 10-part series on scientific creation, how certainly as we look at the development of the human body, we look at the development of animal and plant life, this could not have happened by accident. Obviously, the Darwinian theory is certainly a total fraud, and after you've heard these 10 DVDs, you'll be as convinced as I am, even more so, that Pastor Crone does an excellent job. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But why do I mention them here? Because Billy Crone concludes each one of his DVDs with a personal invitation to become a child of God and to commit your life to Jesus Christ, and tells you about the sinner's prayer, what you have to do to invite Christ into your life, probably the most important single thing you will ever do. So, again, if you'd like to get them, part one, part two, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret. There is a secret been around for 5,000 years. We have another shorter talk called simply The Secret. And, of course, it simply goes into what Dan Brown writes about in The Lost Symbol, what Rhonda Burns writes about in her book, The Secret, or you'll see in her DVD, The Secret. And there is a secret there. There is an invisible force, an invisible power you can tap into. But although Dan Brown and Rhonda Burns suggest that you want to tap into it because it can give you whatever you want, we advise you not to tap into it because you do not want what it offers. It offers you fame and fortune, wealth and prosperity, but at a terrible price for eternity. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we really are involved in a spiritual battle that's being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and that certainly society is being lured away from the teachings of the Bible today. An increasing number of people are embracing the concepts of alchemy. What is alchemy? It's not about turning lead into gold. It's about really transforming you from what you were to what your true potential is. But ladies and gentlemen, your true potential is not, of course, what you can conjure with your mind. Your true potential is what God can do with your life if you give him control over it. And that is the great battle that's taking place today, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Get my book, RadioLiberty.com. Read it, and please, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty.